Amen. Hey, once again, we are in our big finale. What's that? A finale? Well, that means conclusion. We haven't said that in a while. That's right. In Freemasonry, if you guys have been tracking with this, which I hope you have, we've been breaking it down for you. And the first thing we saw was basically what I call the Christian warning. You say that you're a Christian, you're part of this group, you better run, repent, and get right with God. You have no business being a part of this. It is completely antithetical to everything that we believe in. It is Luciferian. It is satanic. And that's about as blunt as you can get. Then we took a look at the history of Freemasonry. How in the world did we get into this mess? Where did it come from? Well, it rhymes with Europe because it came from Europe. That's right, Don. You're paying attention. That's right. Europe. But hey, the British are coming. The British are coming. Well, guess what they brought? They brought Freemasonry with them. So we've got saw how it came over here, not only around the world, but to America and even in the American church. Okay, so we took a look at the history. Then we took a look at the beliefs to further show you, hey, this is not a conspiracy theory. These guys really are a religion, and it is completely antithetical to everything that we believe in as Christians. And again, you should have no part in it. Then we took a look at these symbols. And what we saw, it's an occult secret society, Freemasonry. And so, shocker, just like the other occults that we finished 66-week study on, whether it be witchcraft, Satanism, voodoo, shamanism, and Druidism, cults codify their beliefs in symbols. And so here you have an occult secret society. What do? The exact same thing. And then when you see what their symbols are, you see like the other cults, they're everywhere. They are everywhere, folks, including, dare I say, as we saw before, in cemeteries, man. You want to see people advertising, I'm in hell? Go to cemeteries because they got the symbols of Freemasonry. And if that's what they were trusting in, they did not go to heaven. They went to hell. Okay, then we saw, again, the leaders. Who are the people responsible for this? We took a look at the big guns, including him right there, Mr. Albert Pike, Scottish Rite, Freemasonry. We'll take a look at that again a little bit tonight. You'll see why. Then we took a look at the branches. We began to see that these guys are everywhere, infiltrating. They got all kinds of different angles that they're trying to suck as many people up into this as possible, okay? We start with the English Freemasonry because that's where it started. Then they hopped upon over here to America. Now, America has four major branches of Freemasonry. You got the Scottish Rite, then you got the York Rite, then you have the Prince Hall. That's for the African-American community. Then you have the Shriners, okay? But it isn't just for men. They go after the women as well. The women, the two top ones, is the Eastern Star. Notice it's an obvious what? Pentagram on purpose. They believe that's a good thing. No, it's not. Okay, and again, you see that on somebody's headstone, that ain't a good sign. Okay, then they also have with the women the Order of the Aramanth, and not only that, then they have what I called the auxiliary or social Freemasonry. I call them just basically the subgroups, trying to suck in as many different groups as possible is what these guys are up to, including the group called National Sojourners, who is the Freemasons who go into our military to suck in military people, including working with youth in ROTC. As you can see, they're straight from the Scottish Rite. They admit that's what they're doing with that group. So be careful what you get involved in. Then we saw they go after the youth as well. Okay, and we broke that down to their categories. DeMolay is the youth group of Freemasons that try to get the young men involved. Two groups for the ladies. You got Rainbow Girls and you got Job's Daughters, also known as Jobies. And so that's another way to get them involved. And these guys, again, they're pushing for a one world government, a one world religion. They're pushing for a one world religion government economy. And they're also pushing for a mark of the beast type system. And this is from the Freemasons. They're promoting, shocker, everything of the Antichrist kingdom. And they simply call it, about as blunt as you can get, my chip. And so they want to create a mark of the beast tracking system for, you know, it's for their safety and all this stuff. It's crazy. And then we took a look at the famous figures of Freemasonry because they're everywhere, not just over the hop in the pond, but even here in America. And these guys have infiltrated just about every sector of society. And what they're doing is they're dictating, steering, guiding events, world events towards what they think is a good thing, a Luciferian order, where we will end up with a one world government, a one world religion, and submit under one world ruler that, again, is the handpicked guy of Satan, which, again, the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells you what that is. It's the Antichrist kingdom. No, it's not a good thing, but that's what they believe, and that's what they're doing in secret behind the scenes. Okay, promoting this around the world. Now, we took a look at some of those famous figures, and we started last time with what I called pastoral masons. And again, we saw there, they're not the only ones. Pick a church denomination today. You got Freemasons all over the place. In our study, we dealt with many personal encounters that I've had as a pastor, 30 years of ministry now, have encountered directly. But we dealt with the big one, the Southern Baptists. And the Southern Baptists, just to give you, if you weren't there, they were asked in 1991, they were asked, hey, do you think we should put out a statement on Freemasonry? 60% of pastors of Southern Baptists, 56% of ministers' educations, 72% of the directors of missions, 63% of deacons, 74% of church coaches said, nah, that's not important at all. Wonder why? Because they are infiltrated. And we dealt with the history. They are infiltrated with major, mega Masons all over the place, which, if for those of you who don't know, Sunrise back in the day used to be a Southern Baptist church, but we jumped ship many years ago because guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to build help build a Muslim mosque in New Jersey. It's still in print, folks, right? But that fits the Freemasonry, one world religion, come one, come all mentality. So we jumped ship way back then, but this is the kind of baloney. But if you got a tie to Freemasonry, no wonder you're acting like that, right? It starts to make sense. Then we took a look at the Masons in sports, including Shaq. Remember that on tape? Shaq was proud. He was showing it on TV. His Masonic ring, he's a Freemason, a bunch of other sports, John Elway as well. Financial Masons, a lot of the people that basically steer the finances of the world, they're Masons as well. We took a look at Hollywood Masons, right? Including the founders of basically every major movie industry. They're all Masonic and things of that nature. And you wonder why they're getting so anti-Christian, anti-godly? Shocker. Then we took a look at music, right? Including Bach. And we did this last time, but it was very effective. Let's say his name three times real fast. Ready, go. Doesn't that sound evil? You know that's evil. That's the sound that chickens make. And so it's evil to the core. Anyway, we saw that Bach way back in the day, but even modern day musicians are also involved in Freemasonry and things of that nature. And then not only Hollywood, but now the music industry, very, very profane and against Jesus Christ specifically. And things of that nature. That's not by chance. Then we took a look at what I call academia Masons. They're all over the place. And then we took a look at the judicial Masons. And quote, from 1789 to the present, there's been 108 justices of the United States Supreme Court. Depending on the source, anywhere from 34 to 40 were Freemasons. Right? And if you don't think that that had an influence on their court rulings, raise your hand and slap yourself. Because you know it did. Right? And then you wonder why, shocker, all of a sudden, they remove prayer and Bible reading from the schools, the Ten Commandments from the schools, right? These are court-related issues, right? And this is part of this. Now, they also, we had two other categories we're going to deal with tonight, okay? And the next one is military Masons. Masons are all over the military. And again, you might be saying, oh, come on, Pastor Bill, this is getting a little crazy here. You mean to tell me there really is a secret occult society that's steering the world into a Luciferian agenda? And the reason why most people haven't really heard about it is because they're a secret society. They have secret meetings, secret handshakes, secret symbols, you know, all that stuff. And they're promoting a one world government, a one world economy, a mark of the beast system, and a one world religion. Yeah. In fact, back to Hollywood, the media, that's one of the biggest promoters of this idea that we can all get along as religions. And one of the programs that they're doing that with right now, and I'll show you in a second, it has a Freemason tie, and is sucking Christians into it. It's a program called The Chosen. If you've been watching that, you better shut it off, and you better stop promoting it. But let's begin to break that baby down. Watch this.
And we love the same Jesus. And we love the same Jesus. I'll sink or swim on that statement.
One of the things that made me immediately concerned about The Chosen Show was its ecumenical appeal. The fact that evangelicals, Mormons, Catholics, and even atheists love this show.
This show has been uniquely, I've never seen anything like it really, how much it has unified in response multiple faith traditions.
Anytime there is ecumenical appeal, there is compromise. And my particular concern is with the heavy influence of Mormons in the production and distribution of this series. And the fact that the creator of The Chosen, Dallas Jenkins, seems to identify Mormons as one of a number of different Christian denominations rather than a different religion with a different Jesus. One of the major red flags to me was the fact that the producer of the show, The Chosen, is a Mormon. Also concerning is the fact that the distribution company is run by Mormons. Now, why would you partner with Mormons? The Bible says, for what partnership does light have with darkness? Dallas Jenkins says that his life goal is to portray the authentic Jesus. Yet he says that evangelicals and Mormons love the same Jesus. It is absolutely terrifying that a man like this has an enormous platform to reach so many people in supposedly portraying the authentic Jesus, when he doesn't even recognize the inauthentic Jesus when he sees it, having worked with many, many Mormons for a long time now. Let's call Mormonism what it is. It is a satanic cult. Mormons believe that Jesus is a created being. He is one of many gods, not the one true God. He is brothers with Satan. And there are quotes out there, statements from the leaders of the Mormon church that say that Jesus was married, he was in polygamous relationships, and he had children. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. That is not even close. Yet Dallas Jenkins is partnering with these people to try to portray the authentic Jesus. This is mind-boggling. This is staggering and completely shocking.
It's been, I can honestly say, it's been one of the top three most fascinating and beautiful things about this project has been my growing brother and sisterhood with people of the LDS community. And we love the same Jesus. And we love the same Jesus. I'll sink or swim on that statement. And it's controversial. And I don't mind getting criticized at all for the show. And I don't mind being called a blasphemer. I've prayed with them, gosh, hundreds of times.
What is their gospel?
Well... The phrase, how much do I know, I think I would say...
Well, tell me two things. What is their gospel, and who do they believe Jesus is?
Well, here's why I'm going to defer that question and maybe hope to maybe get a little bit more specific, because okay. I'm not trying to shirk the question. I'm going to say I don't know enough to intelligently say... to answer a question like, what is their gospel?
So he calls them his brothers and sisters. He says that we love the same Jesus. He says that he's willing to sink or swim on that statement. And I'll tell you what, he's not swimming, he's sinking on that statement. One thing that I will touch on as well is there are other areas of concern too. The main actor that plays Jesus, Jonathan Roomie, is a Catholic who on a YouTube channel is praying to Mary.
You can find these little bracelets. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Him and Dallas Jenkins also met with the Pope.
I mean the false prophet. No, I mean the Pope. I mean the... What is going on here? A lot of people are getting schnookered, ma'am. Right? And on the one hand, as we saw before, you know, Freemasonry, that's a big part of Mormonism. All the temple rituals we saw that are supposed to be secret are what Joseph Smith ripped off from Freemasonry. He was a Freemason. So here you are, now you're working with Freemasonry itself, which basically says you can't say there is one way, i.e. one world religion, and now you're working with Mormons, and Catholics, both with a false workspace, false gospel, just like Freemasonry. But you're all working together to create this universal religious mindset. And then the guy that you got playing Jesus is praying to Mary. And then that's not the half of it. He's also a Freemason. Watch this.
I'm wearing a mantle and a cross with a little crown on it. A knight's cross. 5 years ago, I was knighted by the order, the Sovereign Military Order of the Temple of Jerusalem. I lost my mind there for a second. Essentially, the Knights Templar, which is what that is.
If you don't know who the Knights Templar is, look at the structure of Freemasonry. The Knights Templar is literally the top step. It is on par with a 33rd degree Freemason.
Now they are running the world's largest, most viewed Christian entertainment of all time. That is alarming.
But don't worry, it is not affecting people, certainly not Christians, those profess to be Christians, because we all know the media has no effect on our beliefs and behavior and buying habits and all that kind of this whole ecumenical, now the latest ones, the chosen, all that kind of stuff. Folks, it unfortunately is doing the job. It is preparing the mindset for this one world religion. And I quote, I just came across this week, nearly 70% of born again Christians say other religions can lead to heaven. I have a problem with that. That tells me you're not trusting solely in Jesus Christ. And if you're not trusting solely in Jesus Christ, you can call yourself not just a Christian, what they say they are, born again specifically Christians. Looks like somebody's media propaganda is working. Got a problem with that. How can you maintain that and you're supposed to be a born again Christian? It rhymes with you can't. You know why? Because you can't. Okay, but this is what's going on behind the scenes, preparing the world for this Luciferian order. The Freemasons are everywhere, including the media, and their agenda is impacting even those who would, dare I say, go to church services. I didn't say Christians, go to church services. And again, that's because their branches are everywhere. They're infiltrating everywhere, all over the world, military, men, government, youth, you know, the whole nine yards, okay? And they're doing it with famous figures, right? Well, Shaq's doing it. I can't be that bad. Right? And things of that nature on down the line. Well, my pastor's a Mason, right? Or the church, the deacons are all Masons. Hey, they let the Masons come in and do a funeral in our church. Can't be that bad. That's the kind of stuff that's going on, folks. And they're steering people towards this Luciferian order, including the military Masons. But again, as always, before we get into that and finish up tonight, let's remind ourselves again why nobody, certainly not a professing Christian, should be any part of this satanic Luciferian order. Open your Bibles to John 14. Talk about denying the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. How many times do we got to read this? But let's grab the whole context. John chapter 14, 1 through 11 is our opening text there. And of course, Jesus speaking, and he tells us who he is. Do we get to make up who he is? Right? Does he mince words and say, well, you know, you can come through me or you can go through Joe or Schmo or, right? Or Buddha, you know, you just kind of make it up as you go. Well, whatever feels right for, no. Here's what Jesus says, right? And again, this is the hypocrisy. People say, oh, Jesus, you know, he's great. He's whatever. Then listen to what he says. You cannot say that there's more than one way to heaven if you're going to take Jesus serious. Okay, but John 14 says this, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus speaking. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, what? I am, notice, the way. The article is before every single one of these. Not a way, not a truth. He is the way and the truth and the life. And keep reading, if that wasn't as blunt, it gets even more. No one, how many is that? No one comes to the Father except through who? Me, Jesus. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and I have seen him. And Philip said, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that's going to be enough for us. And Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the what? Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. How much proof do I got to give you? He is God in the flesh, and he is the only way to heaven. And that's why this is from John. John also wrote a book called 1 John, and he uses the same language. Now, this is no minor issue. You deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You deny him the Father and the Son, guess what? You ain't saved, right? And you're of the spirit of the Antichrist. I didn't say he did, right? 1 John chapter 2, and let's flip over there, right? If you find Revelation, what do you do? Hang a left, right? If you find 4 John, what do you do? Ain't no book, right? All right. 1 John, right? Chapter 2, 18 through 26. Now, again, just keep in mind what we just said. From John, now we're in 1 John, same author, same inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but here's what he says. This is not a minor issue if you're thinking that there's another way or if you deny who Jesus is. But verse 18 says this, dear children, this is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists, literally opposers or in place of Christ, have come. And this is how you know it's the last hour. They what? They went out from us, but they what? They didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have what? They would have remained. But they're going to show that how many? There's that word again. None of them belong to us. So again, as we've seen before, just like the book of James, they're fakers. How do you know they're fakers? They started out saying they were Christian, but they left the Christian faith. And he's going to define how you know they left the faith, right? And so they lost their salvation? No, because you can't. These are people who are in our midst, okay? And basically, they walk away. That means they were fake the whole time. And here's how you know they were fake. He goes on. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all you know the truth. Okay, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who's the liar? It is the man who what? Denies that what? Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the only way, right? Such a man is the what? Antichrist. And then on top of that, he what? He denies the Father and the Son. That's what Jesus just said again in John 14. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are what? Trying to what? Lead you astray. That's what Mormons do. That's what Catholics do. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses do. That's what self-help, self-gurus do, right? That's what Freemasonry does. They are leading people astray. They are involved in the spirit of the Antichrist. They deny that Jesus Christ is the only way. He alone is the Messiah. And they deny the Father and the Son. And they're doing that because they're trying to lay the foundation for the Antichrist kingdom. And one of the planks, again, which is a huge core issue with Freemasonry, is building a one world religion. You cannot logically create a one world religion when you got one outlet saying we're the only way. That's why it's constantly being attacked, because it doesn't fit their goal of a one world religion. But doesn't make it true, doesn't make it right, and it's not. Okay, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. So again, they're doing this with all the famous figures. They're influencing people right and left to buy into this. The Chosen Show is just one of their latest agendas. Okay, but they're doing it also in the military. Now, the reason why the military is important is, I'll get to that in just a second. But let me just give you, highlight just a couple of them, just like we did last week. We flipped through them, just to give you an idea of people that were, and this one, this guy, you may not recognize his exciting outfit there and that cool hat because, but this is Benedict Arnold, was a Freemason. Turn to somebody and say, shocker. Yeah, Benedict Arnold was a Freemason. Fast forward to a little bit more modern, World War I, Eddie Rickenbacker, the famous World War I fighter ace. He was a Freemason, according to the Freemason folks. General Henry Arnold, commander of the U.S. Air Force in World War II, was a Freemason. Omar Nelson Bradley played a major part in Allied victory in Europe. He was a Freemason as well. Arleigh Burke, during World War II, basically a U.S. naval officer who helped win the war in the South Pacific. He also served during the Eisenhower and Kennedy administrations. You got this guy, Claire Chennault, however you pronounce it. All his nickname is Old Leatherface. And a U.S. general, pioneer aviator, who organized the Flying Tigers. And he was big in developing the Air Force along with the Chinese against the Japanese during the Second World War. Mark Wayne Clark, U.S. general. He was the commander of the American 5th Army and helped with the invasion into the Italian mainland there. You've probably heard this guy, General James Doolittle. Heard of Doolittle's raid, the guy that went into Tokyo before the bombs were dropped and were able to do air raids and stuff of that nature. He is said to have been a Freemasonry, and so is this guy, General Douglas MacArthur. He was, unfortunately, quote, had to be removed from office by another Freemason, Harry S. Truman, which we'll get to in a second. I wonder if he just didn't toe the line or whatever's going on. But he was a member of Freemasons in the Philippines, which is, of course, the area. And you're going like, well, why would they have so many Masons in the military? Well, we saw that that's part of their plan still to this day. They still do it, including through the ROTC, and they're bringing up the guys. But remember back to the Scottish Rite Albert Pike days. In order to bring about this Luciferian world order, he had received a satanic vision. And in that vision, this was in the late 1800s, in order to bring about that Luciferian world order, they needed to create, keyword there, create three world wars. So if you're going to create three world wars with the third one leading to the Luciferian one, then it would make sense you would have to have people in high places in the military to help you either create it or steer it in the direction you want. So let's revisit that vision from Albert Pike.
In the 19th century, Albert Pike established a framework for bringing about the New World Order. This is all based on a vision that was revealed to him. Albert Pike wrote a blueprint of events that would play themselves out into the 20th century, with even more events yet to come. It is this blueprint, which some believe unseen leaders are following today, knowingly or not, to engineer the planned third and final world war. And this is all done in an attempt to develop a world government after civilization collapses. The three world wars have been planned for many generations. The First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia, and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. The divergences caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the British and the Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments and in order to weaken the world's religions. Students of history will recognize that the political alliances of England on one side and Germany on the other forged between 1871 and 1898 by Otto von Bismarck, a co-conspirator of Albert Pike, were instrumental in bringing about the First World War. The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the difference between the fascists and the political Zionists. This war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed, and so that political Zionism will be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel. During the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christianity, which would then be restrained and held in check until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. After this Second World War, communism was made strong enough to begin taking over weaker governments. In 1945, at the Potsdam Conference between Truman, Churchill, and Stalin, a large portion of Europe was simply handed over to Russia. And on the other side of the world, the aftermath of the war with Japan actually helped to sweep the tide of communism into China. So it seems that the first two world wars went along as planned. But let's see what he says about the third world war. The third world war must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. This war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. This Third World War is still to come, but recent events show us that it may not be far off.
Boy, did we get duped. Long-term plan. But you also need not just military Freemasons if you're going to pull off these three world wars that you believe from the satanic vision that you think is a good thing to build a Luciferian order. You need these guys. You need political Masons, right? That's the other half of the equation. Who basically starts, who steers wars and things of that nature? Politics. Politics, of course, it comes from two words, poly, meaning many, ticks, blood-sucking creatures, and that's basically what we're dealing with. And I got to say that every time I can. But let's take a look at this, and I'm talking about in our own country. Now, the first one, you talk about politics, specifically presidents, the Masons will always go to this guy, George Washington. And I mean, he is like their big poster boy. And of course, it makes sense. First president of the United States. And then they could say, well, see, from the very beginning, America was founded on Freemasonry, not Christian principles. I'll demonstrate to you tonight that is a lie. Okay? But they always bring him up. I just want to bring it up. This is what they say. This is what they say. Key word there. They say. But I do believe some of these guys were involved. Okay? Okay? They also say Ben Franklin was. He not only was a friend of Freemason Erasmus Darwin, that's the grandfather of Charles Darwin. Okay? But was he really a deist? You know, a deist, basically what a deist is, they say they believe in God, but they believe that God does not interfere with the affairs of men. Just kind of hands off. He got everything going and just said, yeah, you're on your own. No, he wasn't. In fact, there's good evidence that he really was a Christian. So again, have we been told the truth about Ben Franklin? But they always want to bring him up, not just George Washington, but Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. Right? So we'll take a look at that again. I want to bring this up. This I thought was very interesting. Gustav Eiffel, he built the first Dairy Queen. No, now you're paying attention. Teaching technique. Pay attention. Wake up. No, Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower guy was a Freemason, along with this guy, Frederick Bartholdi, however you pronounce his last name. He's the guy, with the help of Mr. Eiffel, built the Statue of Liberty. Both were Freemasons. But back to the politics, they say that James Monroe, the fifth president of the United States, was a Mason. Andrew Jackson, the seventh president, they say, was a Mason. James Polk, the 11th president of the United States, said he was a Mason. I got to kick that when I can. Is it me or is that guy? We've got our history completely wrong, John. He's the first guy with the mullet. This did not start in the 80s. Deal with it, people. It's been a classic do for a long time. Anybody? Has anybody noticed it's coming back?
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because I've been waiting 30 years myself for this. I showed you some pictures of before I got saved. I still think it's cool. I digress. Let's move on. James Buchanan, 15th president, they say, was also a Freemason. Andrew Johnson, they say. Now, this guy, as we saw before, the 17th president of the United States, he succeeded Abraham Lincoln after he was assassinated. And what's interesting about this guy is you wonder why Lincoln got assassinated, amongst various reasons, and by whom, really. Because right when he gets into office, he pardons Albert Pike, who was going to be going to jail for a long time for his Civil War crimes. He invites Pike to the White House, pardons him. Smells kind of fishy to me, right? James Garfield, the 20th president, he was assassinated. But again, was he? We'll see in a little bit. William McKinley, the 25th president, they say he was a Mason. He was also assassinated in Buffalo, New York in 1901. Led to this guy, Theodore Roosevelt, Mason. This guy, I have no doubt, was. He was actually the fifth cousin of Theodore Roosevelt. Huge mega Mason. We'll get to him in a second. William Howard Taft, they say, was a Freemason, and, quote, he is best known, the 27th president of the United States, he's best known for largely reforming the U.S. Supreme Court system. And maybe that's when it started going downhill, things of that nature. Warren Harding, 29th president, they say, was a Freemason as well. Now, I bring this up because now we're into World War II-related issues. Churchill, a big Mason, they say, a couple different lodges that he was a part of, which leads to his American counterpart, again, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 32nd president of the United States, only president to be reelected four times. And it was after him is why we got the term limits to two. But this guy, four times in a row, you had this major mega Freemason. And it says this. He's also known as FDR. Quote, he brought the country out of the Great Depression. Or was it created? Number two, he guided our country through World War II. Or did he help create it? Because remember, you got World War I that they created with a direct correspondent with the Albert Pike guy. But they need a second and a third one. Big time Freemason. And a lot of people, even the History Channel, even admits that, yeah, a lot of people are thinking this guy started American involvement in World War II on purpose.
October 9th, 1941, Washington, D.C. The United States has decoded and translated a secret message sent from Japan to its spies in Hawaii. This message will prove to be one of the most controversial documents to emerge from the attack on Pearl Harbor.
This first of the bomb plot's messages, Tokyo specifically asks its spies to divide up the harbor into five subsections and notate it in grid format. Thus, the name bomb plots messages, as in plots on a map, asking where particular ships are indeed berthed or tied up against docks, so that the most valuable U.S. warships can be targeted by a Japanese air raid, which is the only possible interpretation of these bomb plots messages, which become more detailed and specific in their requests throughout the rest of October and November 41.
Even after being decrypted and translated in Washington, the bomb plot message is not forwarded to the commanders at Pearl Harbor, Admiral Husband Kimmel and General Walter Short. The reasons for this have been hotly debated for over 70 years.
The only logical explanation that makes sense is that FDR deliberately withheld the bomb plot's intelligence from Hawaii because he wanted it utterly destroyed in order to further his war aims against Germany. Although all the subsequent investigations directly blame FDR's top lieutenants, FDR's biographers also tell us that FDR was not only reading intelligence summaries regarding Pearl Harbor, but was also reading the raw decrypts. So, therefore, the evidence is pretty conclusive that FDR certainly was or must have been aware of the bomb plot's messages.
What got America into World War I? The sinking of the Lusitania. And that created an outrage. And American people, we were isolationists. Say, you guys do your own thing on the pond, man. We're just taking care of our own country, America first. But because of that tragedy, they said, no, well, that's it, man. Don't you, now you're going to get it. What caused America? Who said, hey, we'll supply you stuff, your thing, you got your problem with Hitler. We're staying out of this, man. We don't want to go back to World War I. That was horrible. That was supposed to be the war to end all wars. How do we get sucked into it again? Bingo. Same technique, same thing with a guy who's a huge Mason. He was, Roosevelt was initiated in Freemasonry 1911, New York City. He also became a Shriner in 1930. He was succeeded as president in 1945 by another Freemason, this guy, Harry Truman. He was a huge, big Mason. He was a 33 degree dude, became 33rd president of the USA. And he went on to win the election narrowly in 1948. Remember this? Remember that? Newspapers came out. He lost. His opponent won. And then you wake up the next day and it was like, psych. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? You don't learn your history, you're doomed to repeat it, folks. They had to make sure you got another Freemason in there. Because what you're going to see, I don't think is by chance. You had 4 years of major Freemason guy. It's going to lead into getting us into World War II because they need their three world wars to pull off their Luciferian agenda. But after World War II, you need another Freemason in there because you got to set the stage for the next one. And that's what you have with Truman. Under his watch, post-World War II, we saw the birth of Israel, which is the first piece of the Third World. Remember, they're going to have, they believe that they're going to use the Israel and the Muslims to destroy each other. Now, that's where they get it wrong. And it's not a bad thing that Israel became a nation again. That's a big Bible prophecy sign. And they're going to find out the hard way that no, Islam's going to be annihilated, Ezekiel 38, and not Israel because God's not done with them. But this is the Freemason plan is where I'm going with this, right? And so, but that got started because, of course, that's going to create tension that is not going to go away still to this day. And they want that tension to create that next war. We also saw after World War II, under his watch, the birth of the United Nations, which has led to basically what? A one world government mentality and things of that nature. And dare I say, with a one world religion and things of that nature. But we also saw last time, after World War II, what did you have? The launch of the World Council of Churches, working together with the Pope to create a global religion. So this all happened on his watch. After World War II, I believe, setting the stage for that third and final war. In fact, here he is, Truman, promoting Freemasonry. No bones about it. Watch this.
As a past Grand Master of the great state of Missouri, I'm very much interested in the Masonic Service Association. In the last war, we had 49 Grand Lodges trying to do the work of one. In unity is strength. This time, when our boys come marching home victorious, none will look askance and say, where was Freemasonry in this hour of need? Approximately 10% of the boys in the service are Freemasons. Another 15% are a close kin of Freemasons. Through the association, Freemasonry is meeting the challenge of their great need. At this very moment, in foxholes and on shipboard, beneath the sea and in the air, countless hands are being clasped in fraternal recognition as brothers find one another in the darkness as well as in the daylight. And countless fathers, bravely wishing Godspeed to their departing sons, are saying, boy, when your hour of darkness and loneliness comes, find a Freemason and tell him you're the son of a Freemason and you'll find a friend. And through our great association, the flower of Freemasonry is being made to bloom in the rocky soil of war's desolation. And the fruits of Freemasonry are being shared by every boy and girl who wears the uniform.
Man, right out of his mouth. Not one mention of Christ, Christianity, none of that stuff. Freemason this, we're going to rebuild the planet. It's great. We're all over the military. This is crazy, folks. Gerald Ford was a Freemason, 38th president, and things of that nature. And he said this, when I took my obligation as a master Mason, I recalled the value of my own father attached to that order. Ooh. I'll bring this up. We talked about him before, but in line, politics, J. Edgar Hoover, right, the first director of the FBI. I bring it up because we all know the FBI is a great friend to Christians and patriots and the Constitution and honoring our rights and, yeah, whatever. Big-time Freemason. Barry Goldwater, back in the day, also ran for president in 1964. He was a Freemason. And so is Bob Dole, also ran for president, as you know. He also was a Freemason. Now, after all this, you're going like, man, Pastor Billy, this is a downer, man. Whew. This kind of blows everything out of the water. We got duped. People high places. Not just that we saw, with the sports and Hollywood and the media. I kind of expect that. But our military and the presidents and politics, are you kidding me? Yeah, folks, it's really going on. And so that's why I want to end our study on this question, the American roots in Freemasonry. Okay? And this is what I want to answer. After all this invasion of Freemasonry, is it true? Because this is what's out there now. For those who don't put their head in the sand, this you got to deal with the facts. Freemasonry is real. It's a real secret occult society. We've really been duped in a multitude of arenas. Still to this day, they're building a Luciferian order, the three world wars, the whole nine yards. We got duped. But people out there are saying there, therefore, America was never founded as a Christian nation to establish Jesus Christ to the world, it was always a Freemason foundation to bring about this Luciferian order. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I will say this, that's what the Freemasons want you to believe. Because if you believe the Freemasons' version of history, and granted, they were peppered out throughout, but they're an extreme minority compared to the Christians in our country, including our founding fathers, okay? But they want you to believe that, because as long as you believe that, then you don't know what we're supposed to be doing. If you want to make America great again, certainly don't listen to the Freemasons. They're here to destroy our country. You need to get back to what made our country great and what our founding fathers founded our country on, and that rhymes with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it's Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to demonstrate to you, right? First of all, we're not even sure how accurate this Freemason list really is. Remember I mentioned George Washington? They always bring him up. Always. See, right here from the very beginnings, we were never a Christian nation. It was always Freemason. The first president, he was a major, mega Freemason. You see him, he's got the paintings with the garb of the Freemasonry. But, and I quote, many skeptics of Christianity claim that George Washington was a Freemason and not even a Christian. It is stated that as a Freemason, George Washington was a member for over 30 years, quote, yet in that time he attended only 4 meetings in total. 2, many Masons want to paint him, keyword there, paint him as their most famous member, which they literally did paint portraits of him in Freemasonry garb, but he never once sat for one of those. And most of them are done after his time. That's called false propaganda, folks. In fact, George Washington claimed that one painting done during his time was, quote, Mason propaganda to paint him as such. So he didn't even like it. What are you guys doing to me? Not that you could blame the Freemasons, because, hey, what better way to get some, you know, it's kind of like the Scientologists. They pick Hollywood people like Tom Cruise. See, Tom's a Scientologist. Don't you want to be one too? So they did this with our founding fathers. So how many of them really were Freemasons? They're already in the minority in comparison to the bulk of Christians. But how many of them can we even trust that they really were? So he didn't go to many, George Washington didn't go to many meetings, and he wasn't even closely associated with the Freemasons. Furthermore, he did have a very close association with his home church in Virginia. In fact, you can go to this church today and sit in the very church box that belonged to the Washington family. His adopted daughter, Nellie, noted that he, quote, rarely missed a Sunday, even if roads were bad and it took him over 2 to 3 hours to get there. Wow. He puts a lot of Christians I know in Vegas to shame. I can't drive 35 minutes. While he was traveling with his military and political career, which was indeed much of his career, record after record shows he always attended church services. Mind you, only 4 times went to a Freemason thing and then got mad saying, hey, what are you guys doing? Paint me as a Mason. Whether he was wintering in Valley Forge while he was in the First Continental Congress, Congress in Philadelphia, he would attend services and fervently pray. Right after he was inaugurated as President of the United States in Federal Hall in New York City, he immediately went to church services to commit his presidency in prayer. George Washington's family did not doubt his conviction as a Christian. Nellie wrote much later of George Washington's belief, claiming him to be a private and quiet man, but undoubtedly a Christian. And I quote, she said, it is the greatest heresy to doubt his firm belief in Christianity. His own life, his writings prove that he was a Christian. And if he did not believe in Jesus Christ, then why did he have this in George Washington's prayer journal? Quote, O eternal and everlasting God, increase my faith in the Gospels. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. The lack of evidence for George Washington being an ardent Freemason is overwhelming. The bulk of the evidence, he really was a Christian. And this is, quote, just one example of how America's footing was indeed founded on the root of Christianity. Including the other two guys that talked about, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. They always say, oh, they weren't even Christians, they were deists. And remember what a deist is? Oh, you believe in God, but it just hands off. That's not what you see with even these two guys. Let's take a look at that.
Americans, you've been lied to again. You've been told that our forefathers were deists. Well, the question that I have for you is, who told you that? I'll answer with, the revisionists did. The writings of Thomas Jefferson, page 385, Thomas quoted of himself that I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Christ. Now, speaking of our forefathers and whom it was that they were, because as you know, again, they were labeled deists by the revisionists of the day. Now, you got to remember something, friends. Deism is the belief that God exists, but just doesn't interpose on their behalf. So let me be clear. Our forefathers were not deists, but I can tell you exactly who they were by what it is that they themselves established. This is what our forefathers believed. Their church affiliations and that of the Constitutional Convention and the delegates within. 28 of them were Episcopalians. 8 of them were Presbyterians. 7 of them were Congregationalists. 2 were Dutch Reformed. 2 were Lutherans. 2 were Methodists. And 2 were Roman Catholics. 1 unknown. And 3 of them were assumably deists. But evidence does not support that they were. Friends, let me go back to Benjamin Franklin so you can clearly understand who our forefathers were. He stated, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter from this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service."
So much for being a deist. When you're asking God to intervene, you're saying that God intervened in our country. That's why we started. It's foolish to say you can't do it without. We've been lied to, folks. We've been lied to. And I'm telling you, I believe it's on obviously purpose. So because if you go back to the Founding Fathers, you find out what made our country great again, and it tells us the solution to the problem we're in right now. We got to get back to that. It's Jesus Christ. Now, so the Freemasons, yeah, there were some. You can't act like there wasn't. There was some. But it's an extreme minority. But as you're seeing with the evidence, even of that small minority, how many of that's even really true? Right? And it still goes on to this day. Let me give you a modern day. They still do this practice today. They just say they're a Mason. Somehow they are one. This actually happens a lot to this guy, Ronald Reagan. Right? He is often listed as a Freemason or a member of the Shriners. And he's not of either. And here's what they do. Still to this day, he was involved in politics. You go to charities and events. And some of those charities happen to be like Shriners or things of that nature. And these people would give him, the Freemasons, would give him certificates acknowledging his life's work. That doesn't make you a Mason. No. Doesn't mean you're involved. They just say, hey, we just want to honor your life's work. But then that somehow makes you a Mason. Quote, "He was not made a Mason. Reagan. Later, both the Scottish Rite and the Shriners followed suits and basically gave him a certificate honoring him with a, quote, honorary membership. But, quote, in both organizations, again, Reagan was not a Mason." So do you see the chicanery that's going on? I just give you an honorary degree and somehow makes you a Mason, but we get to add you to the list. See, America was never founded on Christianity. And so just give it up. Give up hope. Just go on the program. There's no hope. Just drudge through this. No, it's a lie. Now, let me give you even more evidence that when you look around our nation's capital, as we saw, there is signs of Freemasonry symbolism in our nation's capital. You can't escape that. But guess what's also all over our nation's capital? Tons of Christian references because that was the bulk of our founding fathers, right? And dare I say, some of these, like for instance, you're going to see here in a second, you're going to see the Washington Monument. And granted, what is that? It's an obelisk, which is an occult symbol. I'm not condoning that. But you know what they don't let you see anymore nowadays? On the inside of the Washington Monument is chock full of Bible verses all over the place, but they don't let you go there anymore. Many of the monuments today, they have rebuilt new visitor centers that escape the old ones that if you walking through, you're going, this is Christianity through and through. This has been going on for decades, right? But let me give you just a little bit of that proof.
Outside of the fact that our Christian heritage is everywhere to be seen, 300 to 1 with our churches, money in our pocket, our pledge of allegiance, let me take you to the capital of these United States to show you what you might have otherwise never seen before. When you go to Washington, D.C., you can see the monuments stand tall and firm, proclaiming the fact that our founders aligned themselves with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can find biblical and religious quotations, the Ten Commandments, and more on almost every significant building. First, the Lincoln Memorial. The words of Lincoln's second inaugural address are graved in granite, praying that the mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away, but also recalling that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Arlington Cemetery lies not only hundreds of thousands of patriots who served our nation, but also the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, perpetually guarded, where rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God. Notice the Christian crosses over all of their heads. Standing tall in the center of the mall is the Washington Monument, which inscribes, "Praise be to God" in Latin at the aluminum tip of the obelisk.
But are there Bible verses engraved into the walls?
Yeah, there are. In the stones right here. But we won't be able to see them.
Along the staircase of the monument, blocks resound with quotations from Scripture, "Holiness to the Lord," Exodus 28. "Search the Scriptures," John 5:39. "The memory of the just is blessed," Proverbs 10:7. "And may heaven to this union continue its benefits." Go down the mall and you will see the National Archives building, which displays a bronze medallion of the Ten Commandments at the entrance, a testament to the biblical truth of America's heritage. The U.S. Capitol also bears witness to the legacy of our founders' admission of faith. Daniel Webster was quoted by the United States Senate in the 1980s as one of the five greatest senators. In 1851, when the new House and Senate wings of the Capitol were begun, Webster gave a speech that was deposited in the cornerstone. The speech culminated with the line, "And all here assembled, whether belonging to public life or to private life, with hearts devotedly thankful to Almighty God for the preservation of the liberty and happiness of this country, unite in sincere and fervent prayers that this deposit and the walls and arches, the domes and the towers, the columns and the entablatures, now to be erected over it, may endure forever." Also in the main Capitol rotunda, there are also paintings of the pilgrims in a prayer meeting. Down the Cox Corridor, just left of the First Federal Congress, is an image of an open-air preacher. Just outside of the House of the Representatives chamber is a relief sculpture of Moses. Inside the chamber, just above where the speaker sits, is the motto, "In God We Trust." As you look at the United States Supreme Court building, you will see Moses holding the Ten Commandments, and below him the words, "Justice, the Guardian of Liberty." At the Jefferson Monument, you will see quotes from Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom, which inspired the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence. Its words are inscribed on the memorial stating, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and for the support of this declaration, with the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Jefferson's memorial also quotes, God, who gave us this liberty, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. The architects of our nation's capital city purposely placed its monuments in the shape of a Christian cross. And to top it all off, all 50 states acknowledged and fell in line with Americans' Christian heritage as shown in every one of their preambles to their state's constitutions.
Every single state. I actually invite you to look it up. And just for our sake, I looked up the preamble to our state constitution, Nevada, and it states clearly this. We, the people of the state of Nevada, are grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure its blessings, ensure domestic tranquility, and form a more perfect government, do establish this constitution. And you look at some of the other states, man, it's Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, in a very wonderful way, by the way. And it is just, it's every state. We've been lied to. And real quick as we close, let me just give you a couple of other evidences and we'll close it out. John Adams, he said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Without religion, meaning Christianity, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean hell. The Christian religion is, above all religions that ever prevailed or exist in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. John Quincy Adams, my hopes of a future life are all founded on the gospel of Christ. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is forever linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Patrick Henry said, being a Christian is a character of which I prize far above all this world or can boast. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. The great pillars of all government and social life are virtue, morality, and religion, meaning Christianity. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone, i.e. Christianity, is what renders us invincible. John Jay, the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, said, mercy and grace and favor did come by who? Jesus Christ. By conveying the Bible to people, we certainly do them the most interesting act of what? Kindness. The most effectual means of securing and continuing our civil and religious liberties is to always remember with reverence and gratitude the source from which they flow, the Bible. It's the best of all books, for it is the word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it, to regulate your life by its precepts. Providence, i.e. God, has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and the interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Benjamin Rush, the gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation in life. Happy are they who are enabled to obey them in all situations. The great enemy of salvation of man, Satan, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind it was improper to what? Read the Bible at schools. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion. In proportion to mankind adopts its principles and obey its precepts, they will be wise and happy. Listen, the Bible should be read in our schools in preference to all other books. Noah Webster said, the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity. To this we owe our free constitutions of government. The moral principles and precepts found in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions laws. I am persuaded that no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of Christianity have not a controlling influence. That's why they want it out, so they can destroy our republic. Congress, watch this, said in 1854, had the people during the revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution, including the Freemasonry one, would have been strangled in its cradle. Why? Because in this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to be remain the religion of their descendants. And we even had presidents who did Christian things like this.
You see the statue to the left of the door over there, that white marble statue? That is President James A. Garfield. President Garfield was one of the young major generals in the Civil War. He was a war hero. He became Speaker of the House. He became the 20th President of the United States. And by the way, that man founded Howard University. General O.O. Howard took it over after he founded it. Just a really cool guy. But what we never hear about that President of the United States is that he was a minister during the Second Great Awakening. This is actually one of his letters signed James A. Garfield, 1858. In this letter, President Garfield recounts that he had just finished preaching a revival service where that he preached the gospel 19 times in the revival. He says, as a result of his preaching, he said that 34 folks came to Christ and he baptized 31 of them. Now, that doesn't seem like a typical presidential activity today. That's what we used to do with presidents in the past. Again, you'd walk through, you'd see that statue, you'd think, oh, there's a president. You'd never think there's a minister. We've so compartmentalized Christianity in such a small box that we don't realize our military leaders, our ministers, our educators, our presidents used to be ministers. That's why I say about 1/4 of these statues are ministers of the gospel.
Don't hear that on the news. And real quick, just to drill it in your head, education, the first colleges formed in America, 123 out of 126, were formed on Christian principles. Up until 1900, it was very rare to find a university president that was not an ordained clergyman. The New England Primer, America's first textbook for 200 years, taught the alphabet like this. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. Z, Zacchaeus, he did climb the tree, our Lord to see, and on and on and on. The questions at the back end of that book, I know, unfortunately, many Christians that can't even answer this. This was a kid's book in our school system. This was their textbook. This was their final questions. Quote, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? How does Christ execute the office of a priest? What is required in the fifth commandment? What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? That was what we taught in schools. George Washington made it clear that American schools would teach Indian youths the religion of Jesus Christ, and Congress assisted in doing so. In fact, 1782, Congress had 10,000 Bibles printed for use in schools. Thomas Jefferson, remember he's supposed to be a deist? Wrote the first plan of education in Washington, D.C., adopted two textbooks, the Bible and Watts Hymnal. That's what they went to school with. And hired clergymen, pastors, to be teachers. 1854, Webster's Dictionary had biblical definitions, Bible verses, and Webster's own testimony of receiving Christ as Savior. And America's first school was Harvard in 1636, founded by Reverend John Harvard, whose official motto was, for Christ in the Church. They had several requirements that if you're going to go to that school, and it was one of them was this: let every scholar be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of your life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Bingo. Because we've been lied to. Our American history, including our American Christian history, has been rewritten, and we've just went right along with it. It's a lie. And I'm convinced a lot of it's being done from the Freemason crowd because they don't want us to know the answer. Because if you go back to our history, you find out what made America so great. Why was our country, how was America able to take on the number one global power and whip their pants off? Against all odds, we ain't got nothing. A struggling nation. It's because our nation was founded on Jesus Christ. And we believe that our rights come from not the government, they come from the Creator. We stood by on the scripture. We believe. I didn't have time to get in the Mayflower Compact or the Pilgrims, the Puritans, when they came over here. They came here to get away from the tyranny of England, including the religious tyranny that they were going to tell them who and what they could worship and how. It was about religious freedom, specifically to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those used to be in our textbooks in schools today. They're not anymore. You'll wonder why. But if you go to Sunrise Homeschool, you're going to get the truth. I wonder why. But again, I believe it's being done on purpose because it shows us what we need to do at this hour. The Founding Fathers had a phrase. It was this: no king, but King Jesus. And you know what's crazy? I was just preaching in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Saturday at a conference. Flew back here last Sunday. I'm driving around in Idaho and in this huge, big, massive billboard. You know what it said? No king, but King Jesus. I'm going, now that's America, right? Yeah. And that's what we got to get back to, because that's the answer. If your hope for this country is a political savior, you're going in the wrong direction. We need to get back to the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, and finish preaching him if there's any hope, like this video shows. We'll close in prayer after this.
Christian nation.
Change has come to America.
which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of a world order that I think all of us would like to see.
But the burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together.
$3.5 billion
National debt is now
$100 billion. Glass Building 7.
That's what will make America great again. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No political savior is coming to rescue us. There's only one savior. His name is Jesus. We got the answer. Stop listening to the world. Stop listening to Freemasons. Get back to preaching Christ until he comes and gets us and finish strong as the bride. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our study today and our study that we had through Freemasonry and exposing really just the ugly truth of just how far this rabbit hole goes. But thank you that no matter how much the enemy tries to confuse things, the truth is always there, including what our country was founded on. It really was you at one point. We know the answer. So many times we get sucked into the ways of this world. We think that a man or some institution or a is going to turn things around. The only one that can turn things around is you, Jesus. It's a spiritual battle we're in. Our founding fathers knew this. They built our country on you. Our freedom's on you. And until we, the church, get serious about it, there is no hope. We're headed straight for the 7-year tribulation. There's no hope of a revival. But wouldn't it be great, God, if you'd send one last true revival before the 7-year tribulation? All I know, if it's ever going to happen, then we, your church, have to get our hearts right with you. Revival's for the church, not for the world. Cause us, God, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and preach you, Jesus, until our dying breath, and have that billboard truly on our hearts. No king, but King Jesus. Make us into that church, God. Use us to make a world of a difference with what time we have left. We ask and pray all these things in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus, so that we can now have a relationship with God, both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.